It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley today will reveal the name of Windows 8 and the various SKUs you can buy. We'll also talk about the success and failure of the Windows Phone and a whole lot more. It's all coming up next with Windows Weekly. Stay right here.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 257, recorded April 19th, 2012. Pocket Paul. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Carbonite Online Backup. Automatic, continuous, unlimited backup for your computer files. Just $59 a year. Try it free at Carbonite.com. Don't forget to use the offer code WINDOWS to get 2 bonus months with purchase. And by Audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to Audible.com/Windows. It's time for Windows Weekly, the 257th. In its line, and joined today we are by the fabulous Mary Jo Foley and the top of Paul Thurrott's head. Hello.
Sorry, I nodded off there.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Paul is the... I think I just missed that shot. I almost got it. Paul is the editor-in-chief of the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com. He is a news editor for Windows IT Pro. He's going to take a drink now because he knows it goes on for a while. He is an analyst for Penton Media, the author of many fine books, including the 1996 tome, the InterDev... What was it? Bible?
Visual InterDev 6 Unleashed, I think.
InterDev 6 Unleashed available. We want to get that royalty up to $20.
I wrote books about InterDev, the original version. I believe there was an InterDev 2, and then I think 6 was the next version.
Awesome.
I think
they just went right.
I think they aligned it with Visual Basic 6. Went
right through them instantly. Mary Jo Foley, on the other hand,
was smart enough to avoid InterDev.
Completely avoided InterDev.
I did not write about InterDev. She
writes regularly about Microsoft, though, at ZDNet, allaboutmicrosoft.com. You must have written books of some sort, of some stripe.
I've written one book called Microsoft 2.0 how Microsoft was changing in the post-Gates era. And that's my one and only book forever.
I forgot you wrote that. That's a great book, actually. I completely forgot that you were the author of that.
Yes, that was me. And it made me forever swear off book writing, Paul Thurrott.
Quite rightly. And, you know, Paul swears off every time. But
I swear, yeah, all the time. And, yeah.
They can't.
So I've written over 20 books, and I still haven't learned my lesson. Mary Jo wrote one, and she's done. See the different approaches to life.
So who are you going to trust is the question.
I know who I'm going to trust.
Anyway, we convene once again to speak about Windows. I'm just back from the fabulous National Association of Broadcasters Festival, which featured a very small number of broadcasters, ironically. There was a radio pit. Literally. I took a picture of it.
We'd dispense with you all at once.
Exactly. Push all the radio guys into a pit.
Is the oil ready?
We'll have a barbecue. There was some TV stuff, but mostly it was just about like content creators of all kinds. It was really actually a lot of fun. And if you missed any of our coverage, and God knows we did more. I can't believe what we did in 3.5 days. Unbelievable amount of coverage. If you missed any of it, it's all on the TWiT specials feed, twit.tv/specials. There's a Home Theater Geeks. That's at twit.tv/htg. There's a MacBreak Weekly.
Who does the Home Theater Geek show? What's that guy?
Oh, Mr. Scott Wilkinson. He's a wonder.
Yeah. He was the one wrapping up the show.
He was there this morning. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That guy, two things about him. He's a good guy. I mean, but he's got a great voice, obviously.
Oh, yes,
but
yes.
Man, does he have the greatest laugh in all of humanity.
He is my Ed McMahon.
Yeah, he's great.
He's wonderful. He's actually
I was laughing
for me on the radio show. Yeah, he's great.
It was good.
He's great. Well, anyway, I hope you got some of that coverage. There's a lot of it on the TWiT site. Just go to twit.tv. But we're all back. We're done. NAB's done, and so are we. We're cooked. Back to the topic of Windows, and when I was in Vegas, I was very pleased to see that they have named WOA. with a worse name than WOA, if that be possible. We have now the names and the SKUs for the next generation of Windows 8. Who would like to take this one?
Let me tell you a story about this name that sort of emphasizes why it's a bad name. The name they chose was Windows RT for the ARM-based version of Windows 8. Not Windows 8 RT, by the way, but Windows
just Windows RT. Windows Retweet.
So somebody, you know, I hear Windows RT or Win. I'm sorry, more to the point, WinRT. I see that little pseudo word there, and I think of, you know, the APIs that Microsoft has created.
That's the new core code for Windows.
So somebody wrote me an email, and they said, do you think that WinRT will work with Windows Home Server or will connect to Windows Home Server?
Now we don't know what he's talking about.
Right. I wrote him back, and I had no idea what he was
Which
talking
RT?
About. I wrote him back, and I said, I don't understand what you mean by to connect, will connect to. And he said, you know, will you be able to connect with a tablet to? And I said,
the tablet.
And then it sort of dawned on me, this is the worst name of all time.
Yeah.
It would be like calling Windows Win32.
Right.
You know?
Is it it's not because of WinRT, is it?
I think it is, actually.
That's what they're saying. They're saying, you know, WinRT to people is synonymous with Metro, and this is primarily a Metro environment, so that's why we did it.
Wait a minute. WinRT to people is which people would that be?
What people? Right.
Oh, yeah. WinRT, you think Metro, don't you?
Why wouldn't they call it Windows Metro?
That would have been a great name.
Or Windows Me, as I would call it.
Even Windows ARM might have made more sense.
WOA was better.
WOA was good. I liked WOA.
I liked saying it.
I think it's pretty clear they were shooting for a name that didn't have a version number in it. And there's a good way to look at that and a bad way to look at it. The sort of glass half full version is, that must mean they're going to update it more frequently. The glass is empty and has a crack in it, and you're waiting for internal bleeding version is, actually, they're never going to update
it. You know? It's zero, and that's it. Yeah. Loquacious said they should call it Metropolis. I like that. That would have been good.
Yep.
The fact is, it's not hard to think of many names that would be better than WinRT.
No, let's not kill ourselves on that, because it would be very easy and quick to come up with better.
We could spend the rest of the show.
Yeah, and it's just sad to consider. You know.
Okay, I mean, I'm moving on. I mean, names are often bad. When we said we were going to name the show Windows Weekly, people barfed. But they've gotten used to it right now, right?
I mean, when iPad came out, remember how everyone was like, it's a
feminine hygiene product.
Right.
That's all we talked
about. Yeah, the one I always use is Pentium, right?
Terrible name.
When
it's
that name was announced, it was ludicrous.
It's a toothpaste.
And now it's just part of the...
I mean, I'm a guy who named a company Twit. I am not the guy to talk to.
Not the branding genius.
Not the branding genius. So I can't, you know, I can't say anything. But WinRT, it feels, I'll tell you why I don't like it. It feels developer-y. It doesn't feel personal or friendly at all. It feels like a code name, a developer name, which
actually,
it is.
On the flip side, though, you know what else? But the other thing it reminds me of is Windows NT.
Maybe that's what
Windows
it's
NT,
to do.
Not for consumers, obviously, but for the people that used it, by and large, really good connotations. I was very, very upset when they got rid of the NT brand for Windows 2000. That said, I mean, it should be consumery and friendly, yeah.
And supposedly NT was new technology, right? That's what the NT
and
was
RT
for.
Is real time
or runtime?
Yeah. Runtime.
Runtime.
Yeah. Runtime. Oh, my new tablet runs Windows Runtime from Runco.
Runco. It's Runco technology.
It's Runco.
No, and when they first announced the name, too, everybody was on Twitter saying, what is ERT? Is it real tablet? Is it runtime tablet?
Or like retweet, everybody was which everybody...
I believe it's just renamed technology.
And I'm just going to point out one more thing. Renamed technology. That's good. Reheated technology.
Yeah, they rename everything. I mean,
I got to point this out, and I don't know how they could have missed this, but it means it will be impossible forevermore to search for WinRT or Windows RT on Twitter, because RT is used very widely on Twitter for retweet. You'll never .net. Same thing. You can't search for .net. You're right. So you can't search for it. RT, and good luck. In fact, I'm going to do a Google search. That's a curiosity. Let me just do a Google search for it's Windows RT. Is that right?
Right.
Which everyone is going to call WinRT.
Well, that will be a mistake. Now, the good news is a Google search for it does yield, you know, especially because everybody's talking about this right now, yield a lot of news about Windows RT, which is good. So it works right now. In fact, it's all Windows RT, mostly complaining about the bad name. But
the name, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Is there a winrtsucks.com yet?
Probably. Let's see. If I search for WinRT, and this is going to be a confusion. Yeah, you get Windows Runtime, which is the code.
Which is exactly what consumers are going to want to look at.
I just got a new WinRT tablet. Let me see what I should be doing with it. It's a programming model that makes the backbone of the new Metro-style apps immersive.
A COM-based API.
Wow. A COM-based API. But how do I sync it?
But does it work with F Sharp?
That's what everybody wants to know.
I think the only good thing about WinRT name is, unlike Windows CE, which when you condense it down, it was Wince.
Yes,
right. Good point.
There's no punny condensation of that name.
Good point. It already is. All right.
WinRT.
Let's not belabor it. It's a name they picked it. What else? What else do we know? There's four SKUs.
So Windows 8, plain old Windows 8 is the consumer SKU. Windows 8 also Pro confusing. Is the professional SKU. And then there's Windows 8 Enterprise, which is for people who are volume licensees who have software assurance contracts.
Okay.
So that's fine. A pretty...
Actually, this is much simplified from even
it
7.
Is. Yeah. Yeah. It is. Yep.
So there's, and then one home version, which is
Chinese
just...
Chinese edition, right?
Right. Right. We know about that. The starter edition. But actually, it's not the starter edition.
No.
Well, they haven't named it that. Yeah, we don't know what they're going to call it.
Right.
Yeah.
Doesn't really matter.
So that's interesting. So really, it's for most people, what they're the only thing you're going to see is Windows 8 or Windows 8 Pro.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's not bad. I kind of wish that Windows 8 had a different name, just because we like to speak about Windows 8 generally. And the term Windows 8 would be like an umbrella term, right, that would encompass all of the possible versions. But now there's actually a product edition called Windows 8.
This is like Apple calling the new iPad 3 the iPad. It's kind of, I think maybe this is a trend in naming where you just say, well, no, it's Windows 8. That's the one you want, unless you're a pro or an enterprise or you're Chinese.
But right.
For everybody else, there's Windows 8.
Yeah.
The other thing is, you know, we have this note about Media Center. It occurred to me driving around today that Media Center has become the new Ultimate Extras.
Oh, you know, no. It's like this, it's like this. It's an add-on bizarre pack? Tell me it's not an add-on pack.
It's an add-on pack, and you pay for it.
Oh, but which means no one will buy it, because we already saw the reason that they're deprecating it is because nobody ever clicks on it.
Actually, what they've done is guaranteed that a tiny percentage of people will ever buy it, thus proving their point that nobody uses it. It's sad, though, because unfortunately, for better or worse, Media Center was just something that came free with Windows before. So not including that as part of Windows 8 Pro is a little
tough. Well, this is worse because does this mean you can't get it on Windows 8? You can only get it on Pro?
Yep.
Yeah.
But aren't the Windows 8 buyers, and God, you're right, we do need a name to call it. Aren't the Windows 8 generic consumer buyers, aren't they the ones who will buy Media Center? The Pro is...
Not anymore, Leo. Well, you know, by the way, they called it Pro, not business, right? I mean, so obviously businesses are a big part of that audience. And if you look at the feature set, I mean, most of those additional features are business oriented.
Right. They wouldn't buy Windows Media Center.
Well, they're the only ones who can. Not businesses wouldn't, but I mean, enthusiasts.
I know. So they're saying enthusiasts will buy Pro. What is the difference between Windows 8 and Windows 8 Pro, besides the fact you can buy Windows Media Center?
I believe it's about $100, Leo.
To add insult to injury, it's $100 more, and you still have to buy Windows Media Center.
Hilarious.
I'm sorry. Yes. I don't want to, I always feel bad. I mean, why are we bitching about this? This is Microsoft's company. They could do whatever they want. And
they do, Leo.
And they do.
I think that's the insulting bit. No, I mean, it's all business features for the most part, right?
Pro Locker, is business features.
Yeah. Mostly.
Yeah.
And Windows Media Center, because we know.
But it doesn't even come with it. That's what's hilarious. I mean,
they're killing it. This is killing it.
That's kind of what they wanted to do,
right?
In a way,
right.
Right. I was convinced that Sinofsky said this would be part of Windows 8. I went back and looked, and actually, it's very cagey what he said. And he even said something along the line. If you go to the original blog post, it was the one of those reflections upon our earliest conversation, part two, you know, the 18,000-word third blog post. He actually says, we have a bunch of customers who wrote us and said, I would pay extra for this thing if that was the only way I could get it. And I guess he's calling their bluff.
A lot extra because you have to get pro, which you don't want because you don't really need domains if you are at home.
No, it's crazy. It's literally, well, I mean, obviously the Microsoft list of features is not complete for one thing.
What happens to Windows Media Extender? Well, their extenders have been dead for a while, but Xbox doesn't, I mean, what do you do if you're using Xbox as a media extender?
Well, it would still work. I mean,
okay.
You know. It still works. That's a very that itself. I mean, talk about
you're just not going to record
people using something. I mean, almost no one's using Media Center, and then of the people who are using Media Center, probably a small percentage using.
Actually, the one guy who's here in the studio is actually the guy right here. Yep. He's with us right now, ladies and gentlemen. Ashley Grant, ladies and gentlemen, the Windows Media Center user. He's here, and he's pissed. Now, Ashley, will you buy Windows Pro just so you can get Media Center? It even sound, I can't even say it with a straight face.
Leo, it's worse than that. Will you buy Windows 8 Pro so you can buy the version of Media Center you already have on your previous version of Windows?
So his response is exactly what people are going to say, which is, I'm sticking with Windows 7. That's the answer. For his home theater PC. Right. That makes sense. What's the other answer?
So, Paul, you don't think they're going to update Media Center at all? You sounds like you're saying no. Like it's going to be the exact same Media Center in the pack. You think
it is in the beta, right?
Yep.
Right, it is in the beta.
So here's my theory about Media Center. Obviously, they don't want to support this. I think if they put it in Windows, that opens them up to some level of support and some level of support for a long time, right? Because the business oriented, you know, that pro version of Windows is going to fall under their business licensing thing, and it's going to be in market for it's going to be supported for a decade down the road. They don't want to do that for this Media Center thing. This is an end-of-life product. The other thing is, remember when Apple used to charge only iPod Touch users for iOS upgrades, and they had some kind of weird, vague excuse about why they had to do that?
Yeah.
I think that by making this thing... Yeah, I think this falls into that kind of a category where it's like, look, it's not Windows.
Right.
And so we can write our own little license agreement for it. We can. It's a consumer product now, so it can't... It will not fall under that 10-year, you know, never goes out of service enterprise license agreement thing that we have. And then it allows them just to, you know, put it out and a couple of people buy it. And, you know, maybe it works like they had MP3 encoders and DVD decoders, I think is the way we said it back in Windows, Vista or XP or whatever that was. It's going to be like that, like weird little add-on pack. You can get it if you want it, and it will never be touched again by anybody.
The good news is there are third-party replacements. There's Boxy's still available, right? XBMC, there's Plex. There's others. There's probably maybe even better, more widely supported. Why don't you use that, Ashley? Because it's hardware. He's got cable card.
Use that, you jerk.
He has the answer. He uses a cable card. And, of course, the cable card is going to have some big company behind it, like Microsoft.
You could use, you know, whatever. I mean, I think the simple truth is that most people aren't doing this kind of thing. It's complex.
Apparently not.
You know, most people are either using their cable box, which is terrible, but it works, or they're using a lot of those online services, you know, Netflix, Hulu, HBO Go, whatever.
And Boxy stopped doing software. So
I always thought Media Center would have been a great environment to plug those things into. So if you look at the way the Xbox has evolved, all these services are available on the Xbox. Well, they could have been added very easily to Media Center. Actually, I think Netflix was at one point. And that would have been, you know, it was a nice environment for that. In many ways, it was the prototype for these touch interfaces we know. If you look at Media Center, it's very, you know, big buttons, you know, very clear, full screen interface, you know. Very early kind of prototypical Metro style UI. It would have been a great Metro app, frankly. I mean, I just think that they never had those ambitions on the PC side for whatever reason.
Or maybe, okay, they've got something really cool coming.
No, I don't think so.
Apparently, neither do either of the guys in the studio. They're both going, no.
Oh, that'd be great. I don't.
Not Mike. Simon says not Microsoft. Okay. Well,
there were a couple other surprising things though when we saw that you know, what's in the different SKUs and what's out of the different SKUs. I thought it was surprising. No Windows Media Player in the Windows RT SKU.
Yeah.
But it is in the other two. And also, no domain join in the Windows RT SKU. That didn't surprise me. But also, no domain join supported for the consumer, the plain old Windows 8 consumer.
Yeah, SKU. That one didn't surprise me.
It didn't?
The Media Player, no, because they've never had domain join in Home Edition. I mean, that's always been the...
But aren't they trying to pretend everybody's doing bring your own device to work now?
Well, yeah. So actually, they had a post today about this, right? I mean, I think their strategy... Yeah. Well, actually, the strategy is two-pronged. Obviously... bring your own device allows you to do, well, first of all, you have Exchange Active Sync management. But they're talking about something a little different today. In fact, reading through this post they had today, I thought to myself, God, why don't you just add domain join to this damn thing? It sounds like it'd be a lot easier than this completely separate, you know, thing that they've created for it. I won't be able to evaluate that kind of thing until I see it. That's the problem. So it's kind of hard to tell exactly what they're doing. But it's very clear that Windows RT exists in some weird netherland. Kind of between 8 and 8 Pro, it's basically 8 minus those two, a couple of features, storage spaces and Windows Media Player, and then plus Office and device encryption, which is sort of like a BitLocker type feature, and something you can control with Exchange Active Sync. I don't know, you know, I'm not really sure. Media Player doesn't surprise me too much because it's such a big and complicated app, and it works with all this stuff behind the scenes that I don't think they're supporting anymore with, you know, future upgrades, things like Play 2 and so forth. And they have equivalents for that stuff, the consumption stuff, in the Metro-style media apps. The problem is, you know, if you think about, like, you copy your music collection over to, you know, your ARM-based device or some of it, and then you access it from the media apps, if those things aren't tagged correctly, they won't appear correctly in the apps. And Media Player was one of the ways you could fix that. You know, you could go in and do the edit file thing and change the properties and all that. So I don't know how they're going to rectify that unless they're going to improve the capabilities of the Metro apps. Because right now they're really, really basic. I mean, really basic.
I mean, the disclosure this week about the SKUs, the main thing it made me kind of start thinking about and questioning is, so how are they going to position Windows RT? Yep. You know, like we've said, maybe it's going to be their tablet, like media tablet strategy. But now I'm kind of thinking more like it's almost like they're positioning it as a companion device to a PC. It's like,
that's a good point.
Thing.
Actually, and as you were talking through it, it occurred to me, what about Windows Live Essentials? Right.
Right.
Will that be ported to, WinRT? I mean, there you have the media player equivalent for photos, like Windows Live Photo Gallery. You don't have any photo editing capabilities in the Metro Photos app at all. I mean, unless it changes. A lot more sharing capabilities, although that could certainly be added easily enough. And then, of course, the other apps in the suite. I mean, there's a Movie Maker application in there, which is obviously pretty valuable to some people. And, you know, if they don't put that on WinRT, I mean, they're almost setting it up as it's like Windows, but it's more limited, you know?
Yeah.
And if we could just move people over to that thing, we wouldn't have to support all this other junk anymore, you know? I wonder if that's part of the plan or part of the hope for it. I don't know.
Yeah, because another thing they disclosed this week were some of the new, software assurance guarantees and some of the new provisions for that. And then there were all these things about, you know, the kinds of rights management you're going to get on Windows RT devices if you have software assurance. So that makes it even more like, so are they thinking of this as just like, you'll already have a PC, and this will just be an extra device you also happen to have it. Like, they're not playing it up as a PC almost anymore,
but everybody
right?
does have a PC, right? I mean, that's... in fact, to be honest, when the iPad first came out, the only way you could use it was by hooking up to a Mac or PC. Sure. You had to use iTunes. So, I mean, they're not in such an unusual boat.
Well, okay, but they obviously...
It's only, they finally only got this... That you don't have to have a PC in the post-PC era with the newest one.
So... That was huge, I think, for the iPad.
And
for the iPhone too, actually.
Yeah. So if we could roll it back to 2009, we'd be in great shape.
We always say that about Microsoft. You know, if we could just go back a couple of years and do everything completely differently, we'd be all set. I gotta stop doing that. I'm sorry.
Snark alert.
I know people mistake my sarcasm.
He's a humorist. He's a comic, ladies and gentlemen. I'll start introducing this show, and now the comedic stylings of Mr. Paul Theroux. Paul, you got to understand, Paul is the eternal pessimist. Life sucks. It always will suck. It's only going to get worse. And Paul is basically here to watch it decline.
You're right. So you're right.
And comment on it as it goes down. He's the Eeyore of Twitter.
But think of the upside of this way of living, which is you're never disappointed.
Yes.
And actually, that's it.
You left out one. You're mostly right.
Right. Yeah, right.
You're never disappointed.
Actually, that's not been my experience for me personally.
Yeah. And you're mostly right. I'm just a couple more questions. 64-bit only, of course, right? We're done with 32-bit anything.
No.
Oh, but no.
32 and 64, of course. No, but they're not separate, right? I mean, they made that mistake with Windows Vista. Vista was, speaking of comedy, was, I mean, a comic's dream come true if you're into technology. But, right. I mean, in Windows 7, you get 32/64 part of the deal. I mean, so that, of course, is going to be the case with Windows 8.
Who would install a 32-bit version, though, really?
Somebody who has a 32-bit version already and wants to upgrade.
Simple upgrade. Got it.
In fact, they've never said this, by the way. And, in fact, I would expect this is one of the revelations to come. But it would be kind of neat if they only made a 64-bit available as a clean install, although I don't expect them to do that because they're Microsoft and, you know, they have to please everybody. But, 32 bits available because people need to upgrade.
Right, right. Okay. But most all hardware, including the tablets, are 64-bit now.
Actually, isn't ARM only 32-bit? Oh, no. I don't mean to further muddy this, but isn't ARM only 32-bit?
You shouldn't have to ask, to be honest.
Why couldn't it be 18-bit?
You should not have to ask.
I think ARM's only 32-bit.
Let's see. Chat room will know. There's somebody in the chat room who will now spew a bunch of stats about ARM.
Yep.
Zephyr says, yep. It's actually 33-bit.
33-bit, right. It's got that final bit for
there's Patrick. A parity bit. Exactly. You and I. Yes. That's what happens when you've been a regular user of Active Dev. So it's 32-bit.
I believe it is, yeah.
Anything else to say? Anything at all? Oh, if you had two ARM processors, then it would be 60. No, I'm just kidding. Not true. Wow. Not
dual core gives you 64.
Not true at all. Well, if you haven't had enough Windows 8 news, we're going to talk about Windows Phone 8 in just a bit. Do the mango tango, fadango. But first, I want to talk about Carbonite.com. It's back up, done, right, Carbonite. If you have ever lost a hard drive, you probably don't have to be told that you must back up. You must back up. If you've ever lost, you know, pictures of your wedding or your baby or your financial records or your email or just, you know, that thesis or paper you were writing, you know, you got to back up. Lots of reasons you can lose data. Everything from, whoops, I accidentally deleted a file, to RM-RF*. That would work as well. Or, you know, fire, flood, and tsunami. I'm not sure which is worse. Carbonite protects you from all of the above by automatically, continually backing up your data to the cloud. So even if the worst happens, even if the whole house falls down, or the boss locks the door and slides your check underneath and says, see you later, you still have your data because you've been backing it up to the cloud with Carbonite. And best of all, it starts at $59 a year. That's less than $5 a month for one computer, for everything that's on the internal drive of one computer. They have external drive plans. They have business plans for multiple computers. It's all at Carbonite.com. And if you use the offer code Windows, you can try it free for 2 weeks. Actually, I think the business plan, you can try it free for a month when you use the offer code Windows. And if you decide to buy, use Windows again, and you'll get 14 months for the price of 12. No credit card required for the free trial, just the offer code Windows. Carbonite online backup. It has everything you want. SSL, so you don't have to worry about using it. Wherever you are, it's always secure. You can encrypt the data and keep the key, so your data is totally private. Carbonite doesn't even know what's in there. And because it's automatic, you don't have to remember to do it. Carbonite, but you do have to remember to use to try it. Carbonite.com, offer code Windows. Remember that. And we thank them for their support of the Windows Weekly Programmy. And I spelled that with an M-M-E at the end just so it would look more fancy. Windows. By the way, you saw the, I don't know if it's in your notes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. So we'll talk about that in a bit. The Lumia sales report. But Windows Phone 8, and we've been spending so much time talking about Windows 7.5, but 8 is coming. Is that right? Is that Tango or Cash?
No.
No. What is it called? Apollo.
This is Apollo.
There's the code name lady has all the code names for.
Apollo's so there was a big, big brouhaha this.
Uh-oh. It's okay. Sometimes she freezes and comes back. I think it's narcolepsy.
Funny thing is, it's not Skype. It's actually Mary Jo.
Yeah, Mary Jo just did.
It's me.
Brain freeze.
Somebody called 911.
You said there was a big brouhaha.
Big brouhaha. A Microsoft evangelist in Portugal gave an interview where he said, by the way, all existing Windows phones are going to be upgradable to Apollo, Windows Phone 8 operating
really?
System.
Oh, how exciting.
Actually, so see if you can find out the problem with what you just said, but with that set of circumstances. In other words, where was he from?
Portugal.
I see.
And Microsoft.
Why would he be the guy revealing that little bit of nugget of information, you know?
We have to, wait a minute. Don't forget they went to Barcelona.
Call the Portugal subsidiary.
Don't forget they went to Barcelona.
Is there a developer evangelist?
There must be somebody in Portugal who could make this announcement. Did he make it in Portuguese?
He did.
Yeah.
I hope so, yeah.
We're causing all sorts of problems.
Yes, all kinds of translation issues then.
Yeah.
Everybody jumps on the story. Everyone jumps on the story. Okay, this is the definitive proof. Microsoft is upgrading all devices to Apollo.
Of course it is.
And, of course, today he issued a retraction and said, you know what I was trying to say was all the existing Windows Phone apps can run on Apollo. Microsoft's wrong arm.
Like a guy holding a gun to his head kind of thing.
They put a gun to his head. Okay. And he had to say that was wrong. But still, you know, it just didn't seem right. Because think of what we know a lot about Apollo, actually. There have been a ton of leaks about it. And we know it calls for a lot of capabilities that aren't in current generation handsets. So I was going to be very surprised if every handset could go. And, you know, some people said maybe generation 2 and above will be able to go. But what I'm hearing from my contacts is no, none.
Yep. It's not going to be inconceivable that they will provide this software to any existing phones.
That word means what you think it means.
I think it means exactly what I think it means. And I love that movie. But that is never going to happen. Never.
It's inconceivable.
There are so few people using Windows Phone right now that the engineering resources required to jam this thing into previous generation phones would make no sense at all financially. None. None.
Sadly, though, all of those people are screaming at us that we're not correct.
Oh, no, I'm one of them. I've moved from one Windows Phone to the next. I just spent $450 on a Lumia 900, which is a great phone, but, you know, I went into that knowing it would never be upgradable, and that even if it could be upgradable, that would be so awful because you would only get some tiny subset of what was Windows Phone 8 that it wouldn't make any sense anyway.
This just completely reminds me of what happened with Silverlight. I just can't keep saying this enough. It's like
with Silverlight.
It's dead. It's not dead.
The ones who are delivering the message, right, the people who actually are saying, hey, this is what we're hearing and this is what people are telling us, we're the ones who are killing it, right? It's our fault that it's being killed.
I know. We're the ones that get, destroyed on Twitter, you know, how dare you? I mean, how dare you tell us this truth?
We don't want to know.
Yeah. Isn't it okay that I believe something that's not going to happen because it makes me feel better?
Yes.
Maybe.
It happens a lot, actually. I could get in real trouble if I said when, but it happens a lot. Yeah.
You know, the thing is, okay, Microsoft isn't the one saying this on the record. And this is the problem, right? So Microsoft, every time we ask them, so are we going to be able to upgrade these phones to Apollo or not? They're not saying. And so, you know, we're having to rely on sources. And, you know, I guess a lot of people think, oh, because Microsoft won't say it officially, it's obviously not true, right? So, because they would say it if it was true.
Because they've never remained silent when there was bad news to to give.
Yeah. Oh, it just, it wouldn't make sense for them to say this right now while they're trying to sell Lumia 900s here,
exactly.
Right?
I mean, I was going to say, this is a sensitive time period.
It is. It is. And so I hate to tell people, but I really am pretty convinced at this point they're not going to be upgradable. And, you know, there's people saying, well, maybe some third-party developers will do some kind of a hack where you can do it or whatever. I don't know if any of that will happen, but I just really don't think there will be an officially sanctioned upgrade from anybody from Mango to Apollo for any existing handsets.
Right.
Sorry.
C'est la vie.
Bad news.
But it's not that reasonable to expect it. Just be happy with what you got.
Well, I mean, the good news is the apps can run, right? So they're saying there is going to be something we're going to do so that all your existing 80,000 apps for Windows Phone are going to be able to run on Apollo. So that
on the flip side, the bad news is if you're in the middle of playing a game on your existing phone and you want to bring over your high score and your level progression or whatever, that's not going to be happening. And this is an issue, you know. Windows Phone 7 was a brand new platform. It took them a couple of years to make. It was a big deal. I think they did a fantastic job with the APIs and the platform and everything, the design of it, the whole nine yards. But ultimately, what we're going to see is that thing really had kind of a two-year shelf life because Windows Phone 8 is a completely different animal. And so it is going to run the apps, but the rest of it's going to be when it's Windows 8, basically. And that's what
Windows Phone 8 is, Windows 8?
Yeah.
Wow.
Core of it is going to be what people call MinWin. So it's like the core services like networking and kind of those base level services that are in Windows 8. That's what's going to be
They're ripping out the engine essentially and replacing it with the Windows 8 engine. Yeah. So, I mean, there's some advantages to that, obviously. But there's also that weird thing where they're kind of starting over again. I mean, they're not completely starting over, you know, from a user experience standpoint and all that stuff. But that's a big thing to be doing this soon, you know. And even given what's going on with Windows 8 right now, you could have made a pretty compelling case had, say, Silverlight not been killed, that they could have kept going with Windows Phone as it was and just make the UIs of Windows Phone 8 and Windows 8 close to have that kind of user experience thing, kind of like they're doing with the Xbox. But that's not what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it's funny when you think about it in that light, your comparison to Silverlight is all the more apt because these things are, in fact, connected.
Yeah.
You know, though, as far as the timing on this, I actually think they kind of have, if they're going to totally rip up the platform again and have another do-over, another reset, whatever you want to call it, it's good they're doing it now. The market share for Windows phones is 1.5% worldwide. It's like better to do this now than when it really, if and when it really takes off and you have, you know,
Mary Jo, just as he's the Eeyore, you have now become the Pollyanna. You know, the good thing is nobody owns Windows phones, so that's good. Silver lining.
Silver lining. Glass half full or crack in the glass and internal bleeding. Those are the two sides.
That's why we have you two together. It's balanced out that way.
Aren't we a good pair?
You're a good pair.
No, I agree with what she just said. For whatever that's.
I mean, well, if you know, she's right. If you're going to, Mary Jo's right. If you're going to do it when it's not, you don't.
Well, I don't mean this. I'm not trying to cast a dark cloud over Apple, but I mean, one of the problems with the amazing success they've had with the iPhone and with the iPad, frankly, is that you now have like tens of millions of people who are used to this thing. And so it's hard.
You can't
change the form factor, change the size of the screen, to change the aspect ratio, to change the whole UI. I mean, that's a very aggressive thing to do to people. And that's why, as you've seen iOS mature, it's done so in a very evolutionary way. Because it's a hard thing to make people just start over.
And it is, in fact, you know, starting to look a little long on the tooth. 3.5-inch screens just really seem small nowadays. The simple, grid of icons seems very primitive compared to what both Windows Phone and Android are doing on the desktop. Yeah. So you are suffering. You do suffer a little bit from six. That's the thing. It's what happened to Microsoft. The more successful you are, the harder it is to do a complete face, you know.
Yep.
So I guess that is the silver lining to that.
Yeah, and for all the complaining about Windows 8 and WinRT and all that kind of stuff, I mean, as a in trying to recast myself as not just an Eeyore, you know, you have to give them some credit for going for it. You know, you may disagree with the strategy, but they're not just doing the same old thing.
Oh, I give them a ton of credit because it is a very difficult thing to do, to fully reimagine the most successful software product in of all time.
Yeah. It's tough.
Takes guts. You know,
there are lots of examples of companies, and Microsoft may ultimately end up being one of them, that just saw great success in some market, and then as the world changed around them, they were unable to adapt, you know, like Kodak or
Polaroid. It's the innovator's dilemma. I mean, it's not just once in a while. It's almost universal.
Oh, plus you're still, I mean, they're making a killing on Windows still, right?
So, but that's why it's hard. That's why it's hard.
Exactly. It's hard to point to people inside that group and say, look, you need to change your ways. And they're like, what are you talking about? We're printing money over here.
And that's why it's so easy to change Windows Phone.
Yes. You could almost change it and no one would notice.
To Mary Jo's point. Right. So that's interesting. So this Windows Phone 8 really is going to unify the product line. Now you're going to have Windows RT.
Yeah, it's going to bring them closer together, certainly, yeah.
Will Metro... Okay, so we know Windows Phone 7.5 apps will run on Windows Phone 8.
You're going to love this one, Leo. I know where you're going.
You know where I'm going,
this.
Paul?
Yeah. And I'll just cut you right off and say no.
No, Metro apps will not.
Not Windows 8 Metro apps on the phone, no. Right, but it will be a lot easier, of course, to port them. I mean, right now there's some evidence that porting between Windows 8 and Windows Phone 7X is not too horrible. You know, if you've written your code correctly and, you know, it's modular and everything, and you know, you can figure out how the controls are different and all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, you might think, oh, it'll be easy to do this. Maybe it's a subset of the full WinRT, and that's not really how it's going to be. So there's still going to be some work to make them go between the two device types. And it's important to remember that a phone is a very different device than a computer or a tablet. Right. I mean, you know, we're going to have tablets with very high-res screens. Actually, we're going to have phones with very high-res screens, too. But you know, it's still constrained by the size of the, you know, the physical size of the device.
Right.
Although, you know, there's rumors that we're going to start hearing about the developer side, the developer piece of Windows Phone 8 in June.
Yep.
Which, as Paul points out, is when TechEd just happens to be. You know, I don't know if they're going to say this at TechEd or not. But, you know, I've been hearing from developers who are kind of hearing little bits and pieces that there may be something like a subset of WinRT. And here I mean the APIs, not the operating system. That is the developer environment for Windows Phone 8. So that if that is true, that means that the two platforms are even closer together. They're not just going to have the same core and the same tiled interface. They're going to actually use like the same developer platform. So you'll start hearing Microsoft talk about XAML instead of Silverlight when they're talking about phone. So if this really does happen, it does mean that they're finally getting a consistent developer story and not just a bunch of consistent tiles. So that's good news for developers. Again, it's going to be bumpy before you get to there, right? I mean,
you can actually still use XAML with Windows Phone today. I don't know. I guess we'll see. I don't know. I haven't seen it. So
I'm trying to counteract your Eeyore here, but it doesn't seem to be.
Yeah, I'm trying to be positive about it. I think this
Mary
is
Jo,
a little work.
After many years, I have given up.
It's a lost case.
It's a lost case.
I see what you're saying. But I'm still pulling the plug on this thing, and we're abandoning ship.
Well, here's so that's good news that in fact the Lumia is not really selling all that well. Actually, it's selling well in the U.S., which is interesting. It hasn't really come.
So that's a new device, right? The 900, actually, it's available in Canada now, which is confusing given the supposed exclusive that AT&T had. But
U.S. exclusive.
U.S. exclusive. Yeah. They have a 710 and an 800 internationally. I guess those devices have done okay, not so good in some markets like the U.K., which is bad because those are historically strong markets for Nokia. Mm-hmm. Also, this blew me away. Stephen Elop, CEO of Nokia, had a quote about him being surprised by the rapid adoption of Android in these emerging markets, which is where they were hoping to see great success with this low-end 610 device that's coming out soon. That's a horrifically clueless thing to say. Android is free, right? And to make an Android handset, you really don't have to license all that much stuff. It's fairly inexpensive, very inexpensive compared to a Windows phone or a, well, iPhone doesn't really license. So, but, it, you know, less expensive, certainly a lot less expensive. That's exactly the kind of OS that would take off in an emerging market, right? Mm-hmm, I mean, mm-hmm. For a smartphone, you know. How could that have been surprising, you know? You mean by moving slowly, we weren't first to market? You know, I mean, it's really...
Well, but that's because Nokia has traditionally done very well in those markets with their, yeah. you know, their candy bar phones.
I think they expected to coast on their name. Yep. I think the reality of every consumer market in the world, whether you're, you know, talking about an African country or someplace in Southeast Asia or South America or Australia, United States, Canada, whatever, is the same. They want the new stuff. You know, I mean, people see the cool gadget and that's what they want. And they'll buy what they can afford. Actually, they'll buy what they can't afford, too. But, you know, you make that thing available and that's what they're going to want.
And it also, I mean, it's success in a feature phone does not mean yeah. success in a smartphone. And
no, I mean,
you
just
hit the nail on the head. Why? It's cost. Yeah. It's all about cost.
Right. I mean, if all you can buy is a low end. I'm making a car analogy, like a low-end Chevy or something. I mean, if a Porsche is offered and it's not that much more, you're going to take the Porsche,
right?
You know, and I it's not surprising to me that people are moving on to this other platform. Not to mention the fact that I'm sure everyone has hopes and dreams about moving up in the world, and you buy into Android and you can move up to better Android phones.
Android is an aspirational device.
Yes, it is.
I it's aspire not fast for something better.
No, I hope I'll get something better someday.
You know, I think the other yes. thing too that I didn't see anybody say this, but you know, they pointed out on their earnings call today, the Nokia people, that they're selling well in the U.S. And part of the reason they're selling well in the U.S. is they've been doing like a lot of retraining of retail salespeople here. And they've been giving them gifts and prizes and, you know, compensation for selling the phones, giving everybody a Windows Phone Lumia device to carry who works at AT&T. And, you know, I don't know if they're doing that in some of these other countries, like in the UK. And, you know, I did see a quote, somebody saying, we're going to take the lessons learned in the US and apply them back to these other countries. So that's kind of ironic since they're just relaunching in the US, but you know, they've already kind of invested in things that are probably improving the sales dynamic here, and I don't know if they've done those things over there. So that could make a difference too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I bet the expectation was they didn't think they had to do it. You know, because I think they just felt like we have good position with these people, we're fine. And obviously that's not been the case.
Nokia had a I didn't see the call this morning. Did they have a good year? Did they make a lot of money, and are they really in great shape going forward?
I'll handle this one.
Eeyore?
No. There are some
what's the opposite
some,
of that?
Some subjects for Paul, some for Mary Jo. This would be a Paul. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not so good, huh? Not so hot. No. They lost. They lost they made a ton of money. They revenue was huge, and they lost $1.7 billion. So there you go. That's a, you know, that's not an insignificant amount of money to lose. If I lost $1.7 billion, even Instagram can't afford to lose $1.7 billion. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
And they're not painting a very good picture for the next quarter.
It's
they're
not bullish.
Kind of warning people, and things are not going to pick up by the next quarter.
So it's interesting because you have here an article from ZDNet that Verizon is hoping for something from Nokia. They want a third, you know, they want something to compete with Android and iPhone.
By the way, is it me or is Verizon kind of bipolar?
I know.
Right? No, seriously. I mean, right? You know, their Windows Phone stuff is crazy.
Many people don't even know they sell a Windows Phone.
Yep. Including people at Verizon.
Yeah. That's what I was talking about. The Verizon employees.
No, I'm referring more to, you know, their CEO has come out and spoken against Windows Phone. And then he's come out and said that he loves it. You know, then he said, "Well, we won't want to do it until we have LTE." And you know, now Mary Jo has this news story. But I mean, they're all over the map.
Yeah.
So.
So the Verizon CFO did say on the Verizon earnings call today that we would love to see a viable third ecosystem, implying that was Windows Phone.
Well, what else?
Which? Yeah.
Symbian?
Yeah.
Migo?
Don't give him any ideas, Leo. Yeah. So, you know, all of us Verizon customers are hoping they are going to have some more Windows phones when they still only have the Trophy and haven't said anything else. I mean, maybe we're going to have to wait till Windows Phone 8. I don't know, but we'll see.
Actually, he did specify Windows Phone 8.
Good.
I was curious, you know, the way you worded that, I was wondering, I mean, I'm thinking, did he actually say Windows Phone? But he did. He said he said they're really looking at the Windows Phone 8 platform because it's a differentiator. We're working with Microsoft on it.
So that's his excuse, is we're waiting for 8.
You know, the problem with Windows Phone is that we're always waiting for something.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
When it first launched, we were waiting for cut and paste. Then we were waiting for multitasking. You know, then we were waiting for like all these major apps to appear. And those really kind of are there. And, you know, if only we could have that 8107 update where the keyboard doesn't disappear. Then I would buy Windows 8, you know, Windows Phone.
It's the new Samuel Beckett play, Waiting for Apollo.
Yeah, it really is. It's amazing. You know, I don't think anyone's waiting for anything.
No. The world's moving a lot faster than that. There's no time to wait.
Yeah.
There really isn't.
That's actually something I've been meaning to investigate. You know, I've always been amazed by how slowly things happen in the technology world. You know, for all of the talk about these fast-moving companies, the truth is this stuff actually kind of creeps along, doesn't it? You know, if you talk to Microsoft about Windows Phone in particular, since we're on that topic, I mean, they'll tell you the speed at which they came to market with this thing is astonishing for them. You know, and that, you know, they're really proud of it. But I always look at this thing and I see holes and I think, why can't you do more than this? I don't get it. You know, and it's been going on for so long. I don't know why this surprises me, but it's interesting to me how long it takes, you know, for stuff to happen.
It's both, really. Yeah. It happens faster than you expect and takes longer than you think.
Jeez. God, it's like a book on parenting.
Just like being a parent. Exactly. They grow up so fast and yet not nearly fast enough.
I can't wait for you to get out of here. What do you mean you're leaving?
You hit the nail on the head.
You can't leave now.
I'm not done with you.
It's not interesting.
Get in here. Oh, Lord. Okay. And on that, I closed the notes, so I don't know where we're going next. Let me just pop them.
Is there
back
anything out. Else about Windows 8 we
Is
haven't?
Is there anything we haven't dissed?
No.
let us move along then. Windows Intune, which you have been a big supporter of, Paul. This is one thing that makes Paul Theroux happy.
And I just want to point out, this is turning into an enterprise product now.
Yeah.
So here's my one little enterprise.
So what is Intune? Just tell what Mary Jo. Okay, we'll let Mary Jo do it. What is Intune?
Okay. So Windows Intune is a service for managing and securing your PCs.
And Paul's been singing its praises for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty interesting. It's so if you think about like how Microsoft has a cloud complement for all their on-premises stuff. So this is the cloud complement to what System Center is on-premises. So it's your management service.
Yeah.
It's always been kind of the baby brother, you know?
Yeah,
although that's starting to change.
Yep.
So there's a new version coming.
Yeah, so this week we heard about Intune 3. Intune 3, they aren't calling it Intune 3, right? They're calling it the next version.
They're calling it the iPad.
Well, no, it's the all new Intune.
The all new and improved Intune.
Well, I think it's helpful to use these numbers to differentiate the version.
It helps me.
It is.
Every year they introduce a new...
Is it just, maybe it's just us that we need a way to do it. But I think even consumers kind of want to know.
Well, you have to be able to describe these things.
Yeah. What is it? It's the new one. New is so relative. What does that mean?
So the big news about the new one is you can manage devices besides Windows PCs. It's going to let you manage iPads and iPhones and Android devices.
That's cool.
Wow.
Actually, that's great.
It is.
It is cool.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's Exchange Active Sync based. Here's a weird little fact that's kind of interesting. You can use this product to deploy software to iOS devices and Android devices, but not Windows Phone devices.
The reason is
the current version of Windows Phone has a security model in place that doesn't allow the sideloading of applications. Yeah, so it's actually, it's in some ways more powerful secure. If you use iPhone or Android.
And you also can use this new version to deploy to Windows RT tablets, right, or not?
I'm speculating that that's going to be the case.
Yeah, I know, because they didn't actually say that, right?
But it is Exchange Active Sync, and it's, of course, it's a Windows device, so absolutely. There's no reason why that can't work. I mean, they never mentioned Windows 8 at all, but of course, yes, of course.
And other cool things in this version, Active Directory integration, and also integration with what's called Windows Azure Active Directory, WAD, which we talked about.
I prefer to call it, I call it WAZOD.
You can't make this up, Leo. It's real.
I didn't think they could do any worse than BPOS, but now they have.
Yes.
I miss BPOS.
WAD.
WAD is the directory service for Office 365. So it's like, hey, everything's kind of coming together. How
nobody
about
calls it WAD, right?
Yeah, they do.
Not
sadly.
To its face, Leo. But
they kind of do.
That's interesting. Yeah. You know, I only saw this in the demo, and if you sign up for the beta, you can't do this now. So there's some stuff they won't give you in the beta because you actually have to connect it to a production environment, and obviously they don't want you to do that. So this Active Directory, the Windows Azure Active Directory integration is not something you can experience today, but I did see a demo of it. And it's not quite as integrated as I like, but... Well, actually, that's not fair. I'm sorry. The management interface is not integrated at all. It absolutely integrates with the objects in Active Directory, your users and your machines. So that works. And that's there. And that's that makes sense. But... the management of Office 365 and Intune is still separate. And that was one of those things I was kind of hoping to see for V3 was true integration, you know, and an integrated product offering where you could get Intune and Office 365 at a reduced cost per user.
Well, Microsoft has said, they've said that's coming. Like, that's actually on the Office 365 roadmap, but they never would say when Intune gets directly integrated. But I'm betting it's this year, maybe with the Office 15 wave, I don't know. So.
Okay. No, I think that would put it over the top. I asked, Office 365 has this nice integration bit with Windows Small Business Server 2011 Essentials, which is a version of Server I feel like I'm the only person on earth who even knows about. And they had no idea what I was talking about. They're like, oh, no. They're like, why would you want that? And I explained it. And they're like, oh, yeah, that makes some sense. Yeah, no, we don't have this. I was really, I just, it made me... curious about the fate of this product, you know, like they just had zero interest in
that. That's a company that's really grown too big.
Well, I think so. The rationale here, though, I think is not rational. Well, it's not so much rationale as it is kind of figuring it out after the fact. But guessing they really moved this thing upmarket with this. You know, one of the nice things about Intune is that it used to operate outside of Active Directory and didn't require Active Directory. It still doesn't require Active Directory, but it was much simpler. You know, the policy stuff in Intune is much simpler than group policy in Active Directory. But what they found is that like a lot of the companies who are signing on for this thing are in fact bigger companies. And now they want to do really deep integration with Active Directory because that's what they're using. So I think in the beginning they were thinking this thing would serve small and maybe medium-sized businesses, and then the big businesses, enterprises would use System Center. But what they're really finding is that people use those two things side by side because the thing that Intune excels at is managing the PCs and now the devices that never come into the corporate network. You know, people who work from home or they're traveling salespeople and they very rarely come into the office or whatever. Or, you know, people just want to use their own devices but access network resources at the corporation. And this thing is nice for that because it works no matter where the computer is in the world. You don't have to bring it in-house, you know, to tinker with it. And actually for enterprises, as it turns out, they have a need for both of those things, you know, that both the in-house and the external requirement because, of course, big corporations have people that work. You know, outside the office. So I think this, a lot of the push here in V3 is to support those bigger customers, which is too bad because I kind of care more about the small business stuff, but I still like it.
We'll convert you to an enterprise lover yet.
No, it's too expensive. That's the other thing is, you know, Office 365 is $6 per user per month for the small business version. Intune is $11, and that's expensive. Mm. No, it's
but
not
isn't
the type
part
of thing.
The reason? The part of the reason, though, is with Windows Intune, you get rights to use Windows the way you do if you're a software assurance customer. So it's kind of a way to get around software assurance and pay less. But so you're paying more than a service.
I think you get the Windows 7 Professional license with it. I guess what I'm saying is they need to offer a, well, having used it, you can use it against other versions of Windows 7, for one thing. So they should offer a small business version of it that doesn't have that. And that thing should cost, you know, $5 per user per month. And that would be an amazing value. I mean, at that point, you get, you know, endpoint protection, central management, the ability to deploy software to any PC anywhere in the world that's in your, you know, in this kind of virtual environment. That's awesome. That stuff is great. And then you add in this device management with up to 5 devices per person. It's just, it's amazing. But it's too much.
We're going to take a break. We've got our picks of the week coming up, our enterprise pick and enterprise code name of the week. But before we do that, I want to talk a little bit about my pick for every week. I was just, you know, flew down to Vegas. Of course, what am I listening to all the way down? Audible.com, all the way up and in the car on the way home. I actually love, believe it or not, I look forward to those moments when I can spend some time with my favorite books. And I love Audible because I've always got a book to read. No matter where I am, no matter what I'm doing at the gym, on the commute, I'm going to be, I'm flying to Norway on Monday, and that's, what, 13 or 14 hours, and I can't wait. That's a book. That's a whole book. But actually, the timing is good because the 24th, the new Stephen King novel comes out, the success, the latest in the Dark Tower series. So, and that
seems quick, doesn't it? He's been kind of on a year, like a, I don't mean for the Dark Tower series. I mean for...
That's been going on how long?
Well, I mean, it seems soon after his previous book.
Yeah, he just did 11/22/63,
yeah,
which is 30 hours long. I don't know how long this new one is going to call The Wind Through the Keyhole.
Those books got longer and longer with each version, so I assume that this one's about 1,200 pages.
I'm not there yet with the Dark Tower series, but certainly, you know, it'll be on my list. But you've got a good pick, and I want to give you a chance to talk about it. But before I do, let's just remind everybody, this is an audio bookstore, 100,000 titles. All the new books come out on Audible nowadays, which is wonderful. If you're an Audible member, they have different subscription plans that include, by the way, like a daily Wall Street Journal or New York Times. There's some great daily stuff that comes with your subscription plan, which I never mention. I really should. It is just, I think it's a great place to bring back reading into your life because we all have times when we can't hold a book, but we could listen. And I don't know about you, but I love listening. In fact, it's kind of my I'll actually be at home and listen. It's my preferred way to read these days. You've got a great recommendation, Paul Theriot.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked in the past about the, you know, the Gary Taub stuff and the weight loss issues. And there's a writer, I think for Esquire magazine, named A.J. Jacobs, who's, he's done some kind of hokey books. You know, it's the type of books where it's like the year of living religiously or the year of, you know, whatever, reading every, you know, book in the encyclopedia or whatever. Right. But this one was about his quest, I think over 2 years, to obtain perfect health. You know, so he does a lot. He tries all the diets. He tries all of the weightlifting type things you can do. It's all body, mind, you know, different parts of the body and all this stuff.
Sounds like it's me. I'm with this guy.
First of all, it's a great book. He's a good writer, and he can be humorous and whatnot. But there's a lot of actual good pragmatic advice in it, which is one of those things I've really been looking for.
Yeah.
We were talking about potatoes, you know, before the show, I think. And, you know, that's one of the things, you know, potatoes are absolutely evil. Like, he's investigated all of the food claims and, you know, and all the exercise types and all this. And he comes away with some common sense advice in all of these categories, which is what I think makes this book actually very, very valuable. So... this is a good one. I mean, I'm actually not done with it yet, but I did, like most people, I think I cheated and ran to the end of the book to find out about his advice.
Well, did he survive is the question.
yeah. And he lost a lot of weight, actually. Good. So, right. It looks very,
Healthy, One Man's Humble Quest for Bodily Perfection by A.J. Jacobs. And but that's just one of many, many choices you have. If you go to audible.com/windows right now, you can pick any book that's one credit, which is this, as well as most of the books at audible.com. And it'll be yours for free. You're signing up for the gold account. That's the book a month subscription. First month's free. First book is free. Yours to keep, even if you cancel at any time. It's really the hardest thing is to pick one. There's so many good books on here. audible.com/windows. Pick a book. Try it. Just give it a chance. See what you think. We recommend Audible books all the time on most of our shows because many of us are big Audible fans. It's really worth trying out. They're also having their big sale, 1,000 books at drastically reduced prices. So they don't, you know, it's funny because these are digital. So selling a book, having a sale book doesn't make a lot of sense. It's not like we've got to move them out. We've got to make room for more. But to get Life, for instance, at half price and things, Keith Richards' book and Catch Me If You Can. And I mean, there's so many good books on here. But if you're a subscriber, you don't have to worry about the sales because you get a book a month or two. There's other subscription plans as well. And this is a great way to do it. Audible.com/windows. We thank them for their support of Windows Weekly. We love having them on. Paul always has a recommendation. Even if you don't have an ad, Paul's got a recommendation. Let's start with your tip of the week, sir.
I put this one in a long time ago. I forgot about it. I have two tips of the week, I guess. The first one is about Windows gadgets. You know, as you may recall, Microsoft halted their submission process for new gadgets to the Desktop Gadget website. These are for the, you know, the Windows gadget, the little mini HTML/CSS, you know, JavaScript widgets or whatever you can put on your desktop. And so that collection is still there, but it's not being updated anymore. And there's a certain group of people that still really loves these things. I'm always amazed when I see someone using a Windows computer and they've got all these gadgets all over their desktop. It's something I kind of stopped doing a long time ago. And of course, Microsoft wants people to move forward to Metro development for Windows 8. But there is a third-party website that has stepped in to pick up the slack here. And I God help me pronouncing this, but it looks like it's Thuz. But they have a gadget pack, which is basically just a collection of, you know, actually different collections of the best choices in different categories, you know, calendars, clocks, CPU gauges, and all that kind of stuff. You know, the types of things that are kind of common, I guess, you know, for the Windows gadget.
So thosje.com. Thosje.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah. thosje.com. You know, you can help me with something, Paul, real quickly.
Yes.
I am logged into Windows Live.
Yep.
And this has happened to me a lot with Microsoft Pages. When I click on your Desktop Gadgets website link, even though I am logged in, I get this a lot. I get this message that you can't get there from here. You've got to sign up or sign in.
Yeah. Oh, sign up or sign in.
But it doesn't give me a sign in button. It says sign up at other sites on the window or try again later. I don't get it. Why am I getting that? Is that
you're saying you're getting that at this other website?
Yeah. So I'm signed in to Windows Live.
That other website has nothing to do with that. I wonder if it's because you're
not
clicking Thusia. On it.
No. The desktop. A lot of Microsoft sites, even when I'm signed in live, I go to these sites and it says, no, the Windows Live network is unavailable from this site or one of these for one of the following reasons, blah, blah, blah. Do you know
so
why?
So what is the site? What is it you're trying to
the
go
gadget
to?
Site that you were mentioning, Desktop Gadgets.
Okay, let me see what happens when I do that.
This happens to me all the time, too.
Mary Jo, what is it?
I don't know what it is. I think it's a bug. Like sometimes when I try to get an MSDN or a TechNet article,
but I'm logged
in. It says to me, sign in. Right, and I'm like,
I am logged in.
And it doesn't give me a sign-in place to sign in. I have to just go away. It's basically
obviously the cure is to upgrade to Windows 8.
Well, I am using Safari. Maybe it's because I'm using Safari. No, but it happens to you with IE, Mary Jo.
Punishing you for using Safari.
It happens with everything. Yeah, it happens with everything. And I've even reported it into the MSDN guys, and they're like, oh, really? We don't know what you're talking about. I can't be the only one. Well, obviously I'm
well,
not.
There's two. Out of the three of us, there's two. So there you go.
No, I've seen this kind of thing before. I actually see something similar on my Works OWA, web, you know, the Outlook Web Access, which is not called OWA anymore, but whatever. The Outlook, you know, the web-based version of my email where... Yeah. It will spin for a little while, and then it says you have to re-log in. And I don't just have to re-log in. I literally have to close the browser and open a new one. Like, there's nothing I can do at that point to make that thing connect. Yeah. And sure, it has something to do with the disconnected nature of HTML, and, you know, it still thinks there's some kind of connection. And I don't know. I've certainly seen that kind of thing, but I don't see it on this particular site. But,
well, it doesn't matter. Just thought I'd mention it, and that's why I didn't show the site. Because it's not unusual. I will because on this show I'm always going to sites, and even though I'm logged in live, as you could plainly see, I have my Hotmail highlights right there.
Yep.
Moving along. There's no reason to belabor the point, and maybe somebody in the chat room will help me. I guess I probably could clear all the cookies out and start over. That'd probably work.
That's something you should make people do. You know, that's always a good, that's a good user experience.
Do it all the time.
Did you clear your cookies? Did you try turning it off and turning it on?
Reboot. Well, I'm sorry. You're using a Macintosh.
Oh, that's not
supported. Oh, yeah. Can't help
you. Is there anything else I can help you with today? I like when they say that when they haven't helped you.
Yes, right.
And they're like, actually, yes, there's that original problem I had. Maybe you could help me with that.
I also like that when you're at a store and they say, how did you find everything?
Or, right, which I say slowly, but thanks for finally coming over.
Tip of the week number two.
Yeah, and a slightly more modern bent, I guess. I don't have a link to it like a jerk, but I did recently write an article about, you know, choosing the right Windows 8 version. And what it kind of boils down to first is there's a whole selection of devices coming that we don't know about, you know, that will make your choice very easy. I think a lot of people are going to walk into a store and say, oh, I want that one, you know. But there are two kind of choices you need to make. The first is going to be around the processor architecture, whether you go with the WinRT, you know, the ARM-based stuff, or the Intel, you know, traditional-based computers. Right. And that's going to be based around whether or not you need backwards compatibility, pretty much. I mean, if you can live without the desktop application backwards compatibility stuff, then, you know, ARM is probably going to give you thinner, lighter devices and much better life. And that's something to really think about. But if you're going with the Intel stuff, you have two choices. I mean, just like when XP first came out and there was XP Home Edition and XP Professional Edition, this year we're getting Windows 8 and Windows 8 Pro, and they line up pretty much in exactly the same way. It's basically coming down to domain join and those a handful of business-oriented features, and then, of course, the beloved Windows Media Center. But it's kind of nice this time because there isn't...
There's nothing there you can do.
Really, yeah, I mean, well, it's very straightforward.
It's very much easier. There's really two. Yeah,
for the first time in a long time.
You'll know if you needed something different. By the way, that would be article 142857.
Yeah, that's actually absolutely the easiest way to find that. the other one, yeah, just put in, it's my version of the KB article numbers.
Yeah, exactly. No, just go to the front page. It's linked right there. It's right on the front page.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's super site for Windows, winsupersite.com. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good tip. Now we switch focus to enterprise, and for that we bring in the most enterprising of us all, Mary Jo Foley, for her pick of the week.
Yes, so my enterprise pick of the week is a little known fact that I just found out about this week. So on the Office 365 community site, there's actually a wiki. There's actually two wikis that tell you what Microsoft is adding each month to Office 365,
well,
feature-wise.
Cool.
It's cool because they never say this. And, you know, a lot of times I'll be like, so is this a new feature? When are you guys adding this? You know, when is this coming? And I thought, oh, maybe everybody but me knows about it. No. When I posted about this, administrators for Office 365 were like, wow, thanks. I never found that before. And then, you know, it's good for you as a user, too, to know what features are being rolled out each month. Because, you know, in the old days, Microsoft would have a product launch, you know, like an Office launch. 3 years later, you'd have another one. But with Office 365, you get new stuff every month, pretty much. So the only way to keep up with it really is by looking at this wiki. And it doesn't tell you what's coming in advance. So you don't know, you know, what's coming in April, what's coming in May. But it at least tells you what's there in case you want to know, hey, is this feature already deployed and can we deploy it to our customers? So pretty handy resource that for some reason Microsoft is hiding on the community site.
Very cool. Instead of a instead of a code name, let's do a rumor of the week. How about that?
Yes. So remember a week or so ago, I talked about a roadmap that a guy Netherlands leaked? Yeah. So, you know, when I wrote about that roadmap, one of the things that I wrote about there that got me a ton of mail with people saying, you're wrong, this is impossible, was IE10. Because the roadmap makes it look like IE10 is going to be generally available this summer,
right?
Pretty much.
Right.
And everyone was saying, no, impossible. They can't do that until Windows 8 is done because, you know, IE10, it's all tied in with Windows 8. And yeah, they're going to have a version for Windows 7 too, but they're not going to RTM that before. So I actually have heard from a couple of my contacts, yes, that roadmap is correct. And IE10 is about to RTM, which if you think about it means Windows 8 is probably going to RTM. at the same time. So this is pointing to IE10 and Windows 8 both RTMing this summer. And, you know, a lot of people are like, yeah, of course. But I think people, a lot of people, when they saw that roadmap, they were like, no, that's a mistake on the roadmap. It's actually not a mistake. And Microsoft is telling a few people IE10 will be generally available this summer.
Great.
There's your rumor.
Great. And finally, I like this, the mystery of the week.
And I had to throw this one in because we've got a Windows One Weekly listener named Harry Meyer who was cracking me up on Twitter yesterday. Somebody went to Bellevue this week and stole the Microsoft birthplace plaque.
What?
Which is, I know,
which
what?
Is bizarre since it didn't start in Bellevue.
Yeah, so how did they...
Right. It started in Albuquerque, and Microsoft took the plaque commemorating the founding of Microsoft about 40 years ago and moved it to Bellevue, and then someone this week stole it.
Maybe somebody from Albuquerque took it.
Where would be safer?
Yeah, I know.
Well, have you seen the awful place where it started? I mean, it's like this.
Yeah, yeah. It's a strip mall. Yeah. Exactly.
CD you wouldn't want to have your it's plaque. Also in the
it was next to where Ed Roberts had had mitts, right, or something like that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, next to a laundromat.
Listener Harry Meyer said, I know who stole it. It was Leo, and it's in the cottage.
It is. It is. Because Paul Allen screwed me. And,
there you see. There's a reason.
And it's
he
the
didn't
least
even
I
know about
do.
That reason.
It's funny
Is he suing you for patent infringement too, Leo?
That's it.
It's funny because in this post, which is on geekwire.com, there's a picture of where the plaque was. And it's just like there's like where the glue was is all that's left.
That's unbelievable.
I like the name of the picture is Rock. Yes, that's a rock with no
plaque. Now it's just a rock with no plaque.
Yeah, no plaque at all. Wow.
No,
maybe they brought it in for refurbishing.
No. They've told the local TV stations hoping that by getting it out in the news.
Oh, it really did get stolen.
Stolen. Yep.
So
watch on eBay for this.
Some kid at the University of Washington has this in his dorm room next to a stop sign and a yield sign. You know that.
Maybe I'm missing the point here, but isn't it the that rock that's the important bit, not the plaque? Right? I mean,
wait a minute. You're telling me they took the rock from Albuquerque and that's a Albuquerquean rock?
Well, yeah. I mean, why else would you mark a spot? It's saying it was founded. Isn't that the
is this
rock
like
from
Plymouth Elf? Rock? This is the rock that Microsoft, that Bill Gates stepped on when he got off the boat.
Yes.
They took the rock from Albuquerque, so it's like a piece of cement from that strip mall. Is that what that is?
I didn't realize
that myself. But huh.
you're right, Paul. Who cares about the plaque? They can make another plaque.
It's just, they can make another plaque.
It's the rock. It's the piece of cement that counts. And no kids.
Maybe tonight they'll come back for the rock.
I know. We shouldn't say that because that kid's going to come get the rock.
Yeah. So that's your mystery of the week. Who took the plaque?
It's just bizarre that this plaque is in Bellevue. And it says Microsoft founded at this site, which in Albuquerque.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
I know.
And now we have a rock. Hey, can I have a pick of the week? Because I've got one.
No.
How'd you like to put Paul in your pocket?
Wow.
I want to put Paul in my pocket. It's Pocket Paul. I am surprised you haven't plugged this. It is an app featuring Paul Thurrott's articles from Windows IT Pro and the Super Site for Windows and Windows Phone Secrets all in one little app. You even get our podcast, right?
Right.
This is great. It's called Paul Thurrott Pocket Tech. And it's for Windows Phone 7. Is it also for it's also for iPhone? It's not not a surprise. Not currently available for Android.
It will be.
But soon. Soon. Yes. That's great, Paul. How come you're such a unassuming fella?
Doesn't everybody have a nap?
I guess
I don't have one.
We need Pocket Mary Jo.
I know.
Pocket Paul.
It derives from my favorite headline of all time, which was revolved around Windows CE, which was, if I can get this correctly, is that a PC in your pocket or are you just happy to CE?
The name comes from. Pocket Tech for Paul Thurrott, and you can get it at the Super Site for Windows. There's a link right there. That's how I found out about it.
Paul, one of our listeners is saying, thank Leo, please, for the Twit Windows Phone app. That is
actually
awesome.
thanks to Dimitri Lee Allen, who wrote that.
Who also made my Windows Phone app as well.
Oh, yeah. Is this from Dimitri also?
Yep.
And there's good news. That's going to run on Windows Phone 8, if you can believe Portugal.
Actually, that will work on Windows Phone 8.
It will.
That was more official than that.
Okay. Thank you, Dimitri, because he really did a nice job. He works, I believe he's either a consultant or he works at Microsoft.
He does work at Microsoft in New York.
Yeah. In New York. So thank you, Dimitri.
Surprised he didn't opine on the Windows Phone 8 upgrade situation.
He could have weighed in. Yes. Yeah. Microsoft employee number 78,000.
A source close to Microsoft New York tells me that.
Paul Thurrott is the editor-in-chief of the Supersite for Windows. You'll find it at winsupersite.com. Don't forget to look for article 473-482.
It's like the George Lucas movie, THX-1138.
Yes. He also is the editor of news editor of Windows IT Pro, analyst for Penton Media, the author of many great books, including the Windows Phone Secrets and soon to be Windows 8 Secrets. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, sir.
Mary Jo Foley writes about Microsoft prolifically, profusely, and daily at allaboutmicrosoft.com. And she does not have an app, but if anybody wants to volunteer, I'm sure she'd accept an app if one were offered. Thank you, Mary Jo. Thank you, Paul Thurrott. Thank you for joining us. We do this show Thursdays, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1800 UTC, right here at twit.tv. You can watch it live. We love it if you do, because I like the chat room. They give us all sorts of good questions and insight. We also can get audio or video versions downloaded from our site, but iTunes, the Zoom Marketplace, everywhere better podcasts are. And thanks to the folks at the Zoom Marketplace, you always are getting featured there, and it's nice. We really appreciate their support for Windows Weekly and your support, too. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on Windows Weekly.